Hey, it's great to be with you today, and always consider it a privilege and an honor to have the opportunity to come and speak to such a great group like this. I don't think I've ever had the privilege of speaking to this class, and so it really is a joy because I've heard so many amazing things about this class. I mean, you guys have a reputation that just travels all throughout not only the church but also the area here, and so many great things are taking place here all the time. So really appreciate the opportunity to come and to share with you this morning. Go ahead and take your Bibles if you would and turn to the book of Philippians this morning. Philippians chapter number 3 is where we're going to be at. Philippians chapter number 3. And as you're turning there, I'll just add to Parker's introduction just a little bit. I've known Parker for goodness now, I guess 16 years. I served on the church staff here from 2000 to 2007 as the senior high student minister. And then my wife and I, we left the great city of Dallas and we went to Houston, Texas. Anybody from Houston in here? Okay, and you're proud to raise your hand. I see that, okay? So good, good, good. But we were there, served on the church staff of Second Baptist Houston for about 6.5 years. And then nearly 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to come back here. It's really hard to believe that it's been 3 years. You know, they kind of joke here at Prestonwood years are kind of like dog years, right? 1 year is really 7 years, okay? And tomorrow night is our fall festival. I think you guys were probably talking about that already. The fall festival is really, it's kind of like dog days, okay? It's really like one day, but that one day is about 30 days all wrapped into one big day, okay? So it really is going to be a great event tomorrow night. We're going to have a lot of fun here. And if you're free tomorrow night, come. We can certainly use your help. There's lots of areas that we still need people to volunteer in. And it's just so much fun seeing the community. You know, that's what I love about our church is we have so many front doors of opportunity for people to come and to hear the gospel and to step foot onto our campus. And what's fun is to meet people in the coming years. And as you get to know new members here at Prestonwood, you'll ask them, hey, how did you first hear about Prestonwood, or what was one of the first events that you came to at Prestonwood? And many will say the fall festival or the gift of Christmas or maybe a Bible fellowship class, something along those lines. But they typically point to some of our larger events as some of those first touches that they ever had. So tomorrow night is going to be a lot of fun. It's so much fun seeing these little boys and girls dressed up in their costumes. And my wife and I, we have 3 young kids ourselves. We have a 7-year-old. Her name is Brenna. And then we have Case, he's our middle child, he's 4 years old. And then we have a little 2-year-old, a little girl, and her name's Ainsley, and she just turned 2 just a couple weeks back. And so tomorrow night, I think we're going to have an Anna and Elsa and a firefighter coming out of our house, okay? So I'm telling you now, my kids would be worth coming to see tomorrow night, okay? So you guys just come on, okay? But we're going to have a lot of fun here tomorrow evening, and we'd love for you to come and be a part of that great event and just volunteer, find a place to jump in and serve, and we'll definitely help you with that. Well, this morning, I want to talk to us about staying connected to God's power. Staying connected to God's power. As I think about that word power, there's a lot of things that immediately come to my mind. For example, many years ago, I had the opportunity to go over to here to Fort Worth. They've got an incredible zoo there, and went to go see the zoo. And while I was at the zoo, of course, you got to go see the lion, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest things you got to see whenever you go to a zoo. And shortly after we saw the lion, we were seeing some other animals, and the lion decided that he would let out an enormous roar. And it didn't matter what part of the zoo you were in, you could hear that lion's roar. In fact, zoologists tell us that on average, you can hear a lion's roar perhaps all the way up to 1 mile away. It's that loud and that deafening. But that's an interesting thing. And then, of course, I like to think about this because growing up on Sunday afternoons in my household, one of the things that we watched all the time on Sunday afternoons wasn't football. Oh, no. It was NASCAR. Okay? Now, we got any NASCAR fans who would be willing to raise your hand? All right, good, good, good. You guys are proud of it. I love that, okay? But NASCAR, you think about NASCAR. I've only been to one NASCAR race out here at Texas Motor Speedway when it was first opening up. And the sound of those cars is just deafening. I mean, it is absolutely awe-inspiring to see how much power comes out of those vehicles. And you better make sure that you've got some earplugs. And then one of the last things I think about is growing up as a kid in Orlando, Florida, I had the opportunity to witness numerous space shuttle launches as a kid. And I didn't realize how lucky I was, okay? But that was really a sight to behold. Every space shuttle launch that ever took off, we lived on the east side of Orlando, and as soon as it launched, about maybe 35 seconds after it launched, we would just step outside of our living room, go out our front porch, look to the east, and there you would see the space shuttle rising up just above the tree lines there. And one time I had the chance to get really close to a space shuttle launch, just about, you know, a couple, few miles away from the launch pad, right there just across from one of the rivers. And as you watch the space shuttle take off, what's interesting about it is you don't hear the sound right away. It takes a few seconds for the sound to travel from the launch pad to where you're at. And as the sound traveled across the river, you could see the water begin to ripple across the across that river, and all the animals, all the birds that were in the water started just flying out of that river. And then just like a Mack truck, that sound hits you like an enormous shock wave. And it is a sight to behold. I mean, it is awe-inspiring to see this. In fact, I tell my kids true stories every night. Now, my life isn't that exciting, so I sometimes have to bring in other people's true stories. But this one night, I was telling my daughter about watching space shuttles growing up as a kid. And she said, "Daddy, what was it like?" And I said, "Well, you know, it was amazing." I kind of told her the same story I just told you. But then I realized I had my phone in my pocket. And you can actually pull up these videos on YouTube and other devices, other channels now, and watch a space shuttle launch. So I just decided to pull it up and let her watch one. And turned the volume up real loud on my phone, and she was just blown away at how amazing it is. Now, if you've ever been around something powerful like that, it really is truly amazing. But when we think about that word power, that's how God wants us to live. He wants us to live in the power of His Holy Spirit and in the power of His strength every single day of our lives. He wants our lives to be a reflection of His glory, of His renown to the entire world. And when people look at us as believers in Jesus Christ, there should be something that causes them to stop and pay attention because of the power that is living inside of us. And so as we come to the book of Philippians, we find the famous Apostle Paul giving the church at Philippi some instructions. And I believe this morning the Apostle Paul is going to lay out, he's going to give us some guidance on how we can experience this power, this living power inside of our lives, because certainly, as we think about the Apostle Paul, this was a guy who experienced the power of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. And not only did he experience this power on a daily basis, but the people around him in his life also experienced this power as well, because Paul was doing amazing things in the power and through the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. But it wasn't just him, it was also the early disciples as well who were performing these marvelous works that Jesus had said, "After I leave, you will do even greater works than I have done." In fact, if you go back to the book of Acts, chapter 3, we find Peter and John, there they were, they had healed this lame beggar. They told the lame beggar, "We don't have silver or gold that we can give you. The only thing that we can give you is what we have in Jesus Christ. We can give you Christ." And they did, and this lame beggar began to walk, and essentially they get in trouble. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, it says, Peter addresses the people, and he says, "Men of Israel, why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk?" You see, Peter and John, they both understood that the power that they were experiencing in their life and the supernatural works that they were able to do wasn't because of anything that they themselves had the power to do, but it was only because of the power that was living inside of them through the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason in the early book of, in the first chapter of the book of Acts, we find these words. It says, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, Jesus was leaving us a helper in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what lives inside of us and gives us the ability to discern certain situations, but also gives us the ability to live out our faith on a regular basis. He's our internal kind of guidance, our, helping us live out this faith in a powerful way. And Jesus Christ himself and said in John chapter 14 verse 12, he said, listen, you're going to be able to do even greater works than me. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. Now it's interesting, we think greater works than Jesus. Jesus himself did amazing things while he was here on this earth. But God wanted us to experience this amazing power that we have the ability to tap into through his Holy Spirit. When we think about great men of the faith like D.L. Moody or Billy Graham or Bill Bright or Greg Laurie or other great men of the faith, these men have touched more people through their message than Jesus himself touched through his message. Now, ultimately, we know it's because of what Jesus Christ did in their life that they're able to accomplish these amazing works. But it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that they're able to accomplish these things. And I like what D.L. Moody said on this particular topic when he said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. By God's help, I aim to be that man. And certainly D.L. Moody was an amazing man of the faith and somebody who we can look to and see that God accomplished great things through his life. And I believe that every single one of us this morning, we would all say that we want to be the men and women of this generation that are able to accomplish amazing things for the cause of Christ. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor in San Antonio. I was just telling some folks down here about a friend of mine who pastors a church called Community Bible Church in San Antonio. And he's an amazing friend and great guy. I've known him for many, many years. And he has a little phrase that he likes to say. He says, I want to leave a big fat dent on this world for the cause of Christ. That when we leave this world, that the world knows that we had an impact on this world for the cause of Christ. Now, our dent might not be as large as some other people, but we should leave a dent on our family, on our friends, on other people that they go, wow, there was something uniquely different about that person. And what was uniquely different is the fact that they were a follower of Jesus Christ and they were so sold out to Jesus Christ that their life looked much different than everybody else's life that I encountered in this world. Now, as we go to Philippians chapter 3, here Paul, he's talking to the church at Philippi, and as he's writing these words, he's going to give us some advice on how we can experience this same power that he experienced on a regular basis. And before we unpack these things, I just want to look at verse 10 for just a moment. Paul says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him even in death. You see, Paul had a focus. And his focus was that he wanted to experience the power of Jesus' resurrection. Now, what kind of power was that? Well, it was power that raised a dead man to life. That's the kind of power that Paul wanted to experience in his life. He wanted to experience the same supernatural power that Jesus Christ experienced. He wanted to experience that in his life. So he had an aim that he was shooting for. He was seeking after the Lord. And every single day, I believe, as the Apostle Paul woke up, he had this idea on his mind that he wanted to experience the power of Jesus Christ in his life on a regular basis. And Jesus Christ told us, in John chapter 15, one of the ways that we can experience this power in our lives. He said in John 15, verses 5 through 8, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, the way that we as believers today experience this power that Christ wants us to experience in our lives is by remaining attached and connected to the power source. And that power source is through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you have ever experienced a power outage at your house? Just raise your hand. Everybody in here should raise your hands, okay? This is class participation time. We'll try it one more time, okay? How many of you have experienced some power outages in your house, okay? All of us, right? Well, while I was living in Houston a number of years ago, Hurricane Ike rolled onto shore. It was a powerful hurricane, Category 4, struck Galveston, left Galveston in just shambles for months and months on end. But our house also had some damage. And one of the things that we experienced was a power outage. And it wasn't just for one day, and it wasn't just for 2 days, and it wasn't just for 3 days. It was for 9 days we were without power at our house. Now, you haven't really truly lived until you've been on an extended camping trip like that, okay? I mean, when you experience a power outage like that, you realize just how important electricity is to every single thing that you do during your life. But for some people today, for some believers, they're experiencing a power outage on a regular basis because they're not experiencing the vitality and the effectiveness that Jesus wants them to experience in their life because they are not connected to the vine. They're allowing things to disrupt what God wants to do in their life. And so I believe that the Apostle Paul, he's going to go on here, beginning here in verse 12, and let's just read some of these verses this morning. And he's going to give us some tips on how we can experience this power in our life. He says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Now, the first thing, if you were taking notes this morning, you want to jot this down. I think the first thing that the Apostle Paul would tell us, if we want to experience the power of God in our life on a regular basis, is that we've got to check our egos at the door. We've got to check our egos at the door. The Apostle Paul says here in verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul is saying that he has not arrived and that the Christian life is all about pursuing Christ. Now think about this for just a moment. The Apostle Paul was a guy who wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. Yet he never bragged about what he did, but he rather constantly pointed people to Jesus. He learned that living a Christ-filled life is a constant pursuit of Christ. He understood that he had not gotten there yet. It almost seemed like the Apostle Paul was always kind of dissatisfied with where he was at, and he was always wanting more in his life when it came to a spiritual pursuit of Christ. He was always wanting to experience more in his life. And so Paul, he was saying, listen, I'm nothing. When you look at my life, man, think about where I came from. In fact, let's look at that for just a moment. Go back to the book of Acts. Go back to the book of Acts for just a few moments here. Acts chapter 7. And let's just look here real quickly and just kind of get an idea of who he is. Acts chapter 7. And go all the way down here to verse 58. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And this is the story of the stoning of Stephen. And this just kind of gives us a picture of where the Apostle Paul came from. It says here in verse 58, then they cast him out of the city, the speaking of Stephen, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who would later become Paul. And they were as they stoned Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And then verse 1 of chapter 8, and Saul approved of his execution. This is who we're talking about when we think about who the Apostle Paul was. This was a guy that was a murderer. And I think the Apostle Paul, he was reflecting on these ideas and he understood where he had come from. But he also understood who he was in Christ as well. He understood the difference that Christ had made in his life, but he always had a humble heart. You see, he wasn't willing to have an ego because an ego in God's economy always gets vetoed. In fact, if you look at the various stories all throughout the Bible of the men and women who God was calling out to a specific purpose, just think about Moses. He was a murderer. He wasn't a guy of eloquent speech, but yet God called Moses to a high calling to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And he was a humble guy. We think about the various disciples that Jesus called. These guys were nobodies. They were outcasts of society. They were fishermen. They didn't have anything to bring into God's economy. They didn't have any notoriety of themselves. But yet Jesus saw something inside of them that he wanted to use. And I believe that that's the same thing that Jesus Christ is looking for today. He's looking for men and women who have a humble heart. Warren Wiersbe says this, he says, a divine dissatisfaction is essential for spiritual progress. For spiritual progress. We have to have this divine dissatisfaction for where we're at. We can't become conceited and think that we've arrived in this spiritual pursuit. We always have to be seeking more. And desiring more. And that's what drives us to our knees every single day as followers of Jesus Christ is the fact that we realize I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't arrived. It doesn't matter how many times I've read the entire Bible, or it doesn't matter how many studies I've gone through, or how many people I've led to the Lord, or how many sermon series I've listened to, or how many podcasts of various people I listen to on a regular basis. The thing that we should always think about is, Lord, help me because I want to be more like you. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't yet gotten there. And I know that I'll never get there on this side of heaven, but one day when I die, that I'll be glorified and I'll be like you, be like Christ. So here we go. The second thing I want you to see is we're going on in verse 12. Paul says this. He says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own, has made me his own. I think the second thing we've got to understand in this idea of experiencing the power of God in our life on a regular basis is we want to recognize how valuable God sees us. How valuable God sees us. Paul here, he says, because Christ Jesus made me his own. I wrote this down that Jesus was willing to go SEAL Team 6 for you and stop at nothing to get your attention so that you would be a follower of Christ. He wanted you in a relationship with him. And the fact that you're sitting here today and the fact that you're a Christian, or maybe that you're not a Christian this morning, maybe there's never been a point in your life that you've received Jesus Christ into your life, but the fact is that you're here this morning, that's evidence of the fact that God loves you and that he's orchestrated the situations in your life that to arrange for the moment for you to be here this morning, for you to be in one of these pews this morning hearing this story of how you could be reconciled unto God through a person by the name of Jesus Christ. and that you can have your sins forgiven and have the hope of heaven forever and ever if you simply bow your heart and bow your knee before the Lord and say, I want to receive Christ into my life and have the forgiveness of my sins. You can do that. But you see, God loved you enough. And for every single one of us who are believers this morning, think back for just a moment of how you came to know Christ. Maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was a family member, maybe it was a colleague or somebody at work who led you to Christ or planted a seed or invited you to church or you picked up a tract somewhere. You have all these interesting stories of how we all became followers of Christ. And what Paul was understanding here was that Christ Jesus had made him his own. That God loved the Apostle Paul, even though he had all this junk in his life. He loved him enough that the Apostle Paul was gotten by Jesus on the road to Damascus, and that God did something amazing in his life to grab his attention. And God will stop at nothing to get your attention. You know, one of the things I love about this class and I love about Parker is just how you guys are constantly talking about the evidence of who God is through His magnificent splendor of everything that He's created through creation. And just a couple months ago, you guys will know the exact date, I forget, but it was the harvest moon, okay? What an amazing sight. And for me, as I stood there and I saw that harvest moon, it was just enormous, breathtaking. It just reminded me of how much God loves me. But then it also reminded me of how much God loves the world. That He would create such beauty, such awe-inspiring moments for people to stop what they're doing and to look and for just maybe a moment in their life think to themselves, I'm really small in this world. Maybe there is somebody bigger than me that created all of this. See, God will stop at nothing to get your attention. But how do we measure if we're obtaining our goal? Now go over to 2 Peter for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. I think this is important for us to look at this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a good question. How do we measure if we're attaining our goal? 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning here in verse 5. Says here, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Peter gives us some qualities there that we can look to. And he says that if these qualities are increasing, that's a good way for us to measure, are we growing in our relationship with the Lord? Are we increasing in these areas? And if we're not increasing in these areas, maybe what's happened is we've kind of hit a spiritual plateau. Maybe there's something that needs to be tweaked in our daily routine. Maybe we're not spending time with the Lord like we really should be. And so we want to be thinking about how is it that we can pursue Christ. But then Paul goes on here in verse 13 and he says this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. One of the secrets to experiencing the power of Christ in our life is we've got to stop looking in the rearview mirror. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. All of us have things in our past that we're not proud of, that we would say, man, I wish I could do it over again. But yet, what God wants us to look at is our future. You see, Satan's all about bringing up the past, isn't he? Satan's all about, well, think about this, and think about that, and think about these things, and think about all that stuff that you used to do. And you know what? There's no way that you could go and tell people about Christ, because think of all the things that you've ever done before. Think about these things. Can I tell you how many believers I've spoken to over the years when I ask them, hey, have you had an opportunity to share Christ with anybody? Not really. I'll say, well, why not? And they'll say, I just don't feel like I'm equipped. I don't feel like I'm ready. Can I just tell you that that is a lie from Satan? If you have been saved by Jesus Christ, you've got everything you need to tell other people about Christ. Because you've got a story. And nobody can take that story from you. And nobody can take that story from me. We all have a pre-conversion, a conversion, and a post-conversion experience of what our life was like before Christ, how we came to know Christ, and what our life is like after we've come to know Christ. And so we want to focus on those things and think about, you know what, I'm not going to look in the rearview mirror any longer. I'm not going to allow Satan to bring these things up in my life anymore. Paul, he talks about this, and he says that he was zealous for the Lord, and he was from the tribe of Benjamin, and he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, and he was righteous under the law, blameless. But then Paul also said that he counted all of those things as rubbish to knowing the person of Jesus Christ. He was pressing forward, onward to the other things that Christ would have him do. I like showing this illustration. I got in here a $20 bill, and it's a pretty crisp $20 bill, isn't it, Parker? Okay, now, Parker, would you like this $20 bill this morning? You can say yes. I mean, nobody's going to think worse of you. All of us in here want this $20 bill, okay, because we all got lunch plans, right? Okay, but this $20 bill, it looks good, right? Now, if I take this $20 bill and I crumple it up, okay, like this, kind of take it and kind of step on it a little bit, all right? Let me ask you, do you still want this $20 bill, Parker? Thumbs up, right? Because even though it's got some wrinkles and it doesn't look like it did just a moment ago, the reality is the value of this $20 bill hasn't changed, has it? The value of this $20 bill is still worth $20. And by the way, you ain't getting my $20 bill, okay? All right? But the value of this $20 bill has not changed one bit. It's still worth $20. And the reality is, when God looks at us, He says, it doesn't matter the crinkles, the scars, the mess ups, the junk that you've got in your life and the past that you have. Guess what? I look at you and I say, that is a valuable child of the King. He's one of mine. She's one of mine. And she's valuable, and I can use him or her to do amazing works in the kingdom of God if we allow ourselves to be used by Jesus Christ. Because our value hasn't changed before the Lord. Now, I like NASCAR. I mentioned that a little bit ago. And one of the interesting things about NASCAR is if you get real close up to a NASCAR, you'll notice that NASCARs don't have rear view mirrors. Now, they've got these things called wing mirrors, okay? Side view mirrors, apparently, is really what they're called. That's what I call them in my car, side view mirrors. But they call them wing mirrors in NASCAR terminology. But NASCARs don't have a rear view mirror in the car for the driver to look back at. It's because NASCARs have one purpose, and that purpose isn't to go backwards, it's not to go in reverse, it's to drive forward and to keep moving forward no matter what happens. And the reason that they're able to move forward is because they've got a bunch of spotters who are up on top of the grandstands, and these guys are always looking out for everything that might go wrong with the track, what obstacles lie before them, and they look out and they go, hey, you got a spot here you could pass, or hey, there was an accident at turn three, you better slow down, you better watch out. And that spot is calling down from the grandstands, telling that race car driver, slow down, speed up, don't be afraid, press forward. The last thing you want to do is get caught going backwards in a race, because race cars were designed to go forward. They're not pace cars, they're race cars, and God's designed us to be race cars, ladies and gentlemen. He's designed us to keep moving forward in the spiritual pursuit of who Christ is. And the reason that we're able to move forward is because we have a high priest who's able to empathize with us, even in our own weaknesses, and he's been there before us, and he knows the way, and he's there speaking to us on a regular basis, telling us, hey, stay in the fight, keep going, press on, move forward, don't give up, I'm there with you. In fact, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 summed it up this way. He said, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Aren't you glad that we've got a spotter in heaven today by the name of Jesus Christ who's able to guide us and direct us every single day of our lives? And we don't have to worry about the junk of our past because we got plenty of future ahead of us that Christ wants us to live for. And the Apostle Paul knew that, and that's the reason he was done believing the lies of Satan. He said, I'm leaning forward. I'm pressing in. I'm straining forward toward the prize. I'm leaning forward. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep moving forward. That's what the Apostle Paul was about. And that's, ladies and gentlemen, that's what God wants us to be about in our lives as well. I went running the other day with my wife, Christine. She's a big runner. I hate that. It's terrible. She invites me to go running with her every now and then. And I went, made the mistake of running with her. And we started out on this run. I thought it was just going to be a couple miles. Next thing you know, we make this turn. And once you make this turn, you're committed. You are committed. There's no way back home unless you keep going the full loop. And we made this turn, and next thing I know, we're going to run 5 miles, okay? I hadn't run 5 miles since I was a senior in high school, okay? So we're running, and I'm doing my thing, and she looks at me, and she says, hey, a couple years ago, somebody I was running with a lot that gave me this tip. And they said, when you run, you don't want to just run upright. You want to kind of lean into the run a little bit. Kind of lean into it. And if you lean into that run just a little bit, it's going to make it a little easier. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to lean in to the run. He wants us to keep moving forward. And then the last thing I want to share with you this morning is found in verse 14. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul had a lot of opposition. He had a lot of problems, and certainly the church at Philippi did. And I think the Apostle Paul was reminding the church at Philippi, hey, you guys can stay in this. Think about how I'm staying in it. I'm fighting for the call of God as well. And the last point is, keep at it even when we feel like quitting. Keep at it. Don't give up. Stay in it. Keep moving forward for the prize that God has for us. So wherever we're at this week, I know it gets tiresome, and every day when you wake up, maybe it's not always, hey, I feel like spending time with the Lord, but don't give up. Have that prayer time. Have that quiet time. When it comes to sharing Christ with somebody and they don't receive Christ the very first time, keep after it. Stay with it. Keep moving forward. Don't give up, because the Apostle Paul is saying he's moving toward this goal for the prize. Years ago, there was a guy by the name of John Stephen Akari. And John Stephen Akari, he competed in the 1968 Mexico City Olympics. He was a marathon runner. And John Akari, during that run, suffered a really bad injury. He was involved with some other runners, fell, dislocated his shoulder, injured his knee very badly, along with the lower part of his leg. And the rest of the runners kept going. In fact, they got into the Olympic Stadium. They completed the race. And they were actually having the medal ceremony. They were wrapping up the medal ceremony when all of a sudden, as the crowd was beginning to leave the Olympic Stadium that evening, they saw blue and red sirens. They heard saw the lights and heard the sirens of the police cars. And they noticed that the police cars were escorting one last runner. Now, this was several hours later after the race had been completed. And there was John Stephen Akari, running into the Olympic Stadium. And as the crowd heard that he was completing the race, many of the people who were leaving went back into the stadium, and there was several thousand people remaining in the stadium, and there was John Stephen Akari completing that race, who for all intents and purposes should have quit early in the race. But he kept going. After the race, he was interviewed by a reporter, and The reporter asked, "Why didn't you quit?" And he said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." You see, that's what God's done with us. He's started us on this spiritual pursuit of Him as we became Christians. And when we started the race, He doesn't want us to end the race. He wants us to keep going, to keep pressing in, to know Him more, to share Christ more, to understand His will for our life more so that we can be effective and experience the power of God in our life on a regular basis. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for this morning. I thank You, Lord, for this class and for each person here, God. And Father, thank You for their willingness and their love for You, God, and their desire, Lord, to know You more intimately, God. And Lord, would that be the case for every single one of us this week? Lord, would You help us to pursue You more and to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our life like we've never experienced it before, God, a sensitivity to Your will and to your desire for our life, God. Lord, would You help us to have the eyes and the ears, Lord, to see as You saw, as You said, as You looked out among the crowd and You saw people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, Father. Would You help us to have the same kind of eyes and ears, Lord, that Your Son Jesus had while He was here on this earth, God, and He saw people who were desperately in need of a Savior. Father, would You give us those eyes to see, Lord, so that we could be Your hands and feet this week, Lord, be able to share an encouraging word with somebody, God, be able to share about Your love story of sending Your Son Jesus Christ to this earth to love us and to care for us and to redeem us from our sin. God, we love You today, Lord. Would You be with us now, Father, as we leave? Bring us back here safely next week. And we love You and we pray all these things in Christ's name this morning. And God's people said, amen. See you later. God bless.